Welcome back to another episode of Life Sci AI, the podcast series. Hopefully you are all enjoying the podcast series and have had a chance to listen to many of the amazing guests that we've had already on your normal podcast forums, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever new things there are out there that you can listen to a podcast on these days. Really interesting guest that we have on today. It's somebody from an area of business within medical technology we've not really had on before. And we're not going to be very heavily talking about an individual product or things like that. It's going to be much more around industry industry trends and looking at emerging technologies and how we boost the ecosystem as a whole. And also, obviously, a bit into their career as well. So, that being said, lovely to welcome Darren Porras to the podcast. Welcome.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
I'll give you a short introduction, and then I'll sort of throw over to yourself to give you the opportunity to do a full introduction to yourself. But for those who don't know, Darren is the market development manager for healthcare at a company called Real Time Innovations, or might be known as RTI. Within the industry that you might know. Comes from 20 years experience in medical device and product development. And prior to joining RTI, Darren was the program manager at Medtronic for surgical robotics, and also has had previous roles at Philips and Integra Radionics. So delving into a lot of things here: surgical robotics, medical imaging, image-guided surgery, cybersecurity, than healthcare. And so be great to delve into those areas, but also, like we said, have a look at the ecosystem, because we've not really covered that on the podcast before. So real special episode, this one. But as ever, Darren, I'll sort of hand over to you to give a full introduction. But if you could start off with, you know, what is your purpose?
Great. No, thank you, Nick. That's a great introduction. So, yeah. So what is my purpose? So I'm at RTI now. So I've been at RTI about coming up on 3 years. And but I would say I'm very much rooted in the medical device industry, medical device industry space. You know, it really is a passion of mine. You know, my training is in biomedical engineering. I've worked in med tech for a number of years at both small and large companies. And it's really exciting for me to really be involved in the, you know, this, you know, the cutting edge really of what's happening in the industry, applying technology to really improve patients, improve the quality of care, and seeing it in use, really like seeing it actually deployed in the hospital, helping people and actually just, you know, basically doing things that aren't possible, right? Or things that weren't possible before are now possible. So, and I'm really excited about that at RTI, because with RTI, I lead our strategy and initiatives in healthcare and really work with the industry, technology partnerships, device manufacturers, to really basically see what's going on in the industry. What are the needs? What are the needs of the industry, of the device manufacturers? And how can we help accelerate that from a technology perspective, so that we can deliver these innovations that are needed so urgently right now in healthcare?
Yeah, so just to give people a flavor like of your career, and I think it's a really strong purpose you have around what can we utilize technology for in certain ways to improve better, a bit effectively, patient outcomes, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So patient outcomes are big. That, you know, there's patient care, I would say, is even bigger. So the outcomes are important, obviously, but when you think about the quality of care and the clinical environment and efficiency that goes along with that as well. So there's, I mean, those are all key factors. And especially when you consider right now, a lot of the challenges of, you know, the staffing shortages that are well documented, the, you know, high costs of healthcare, and the real strain that the industry is under, it's a serious situation. And there is a great opportunity now with a lot of these emerging and converging technologies for device manufacturers to deliver smarter, better, faster solutions that really are enabling that next level of care and healthcare systems.
And that's, it's interesting you say, obviously, care is just as important as the outcomes. And maybe we can go into some examples in the few down in the episode around sort of where that is really important at the moment and where technology can improve the not just the outcome, but the journey, the care that's given in that sense. Before we delve into that, I just want to give people a flavor of your career and what you worked on before, you know, at Medtronic and
sure.
And so to be, explain some of the projects that people might know of
sure.
In terms of, and your roles within those.
Yes, thank you. So I had quite the privilege in my career to work in a number of different roles at different companies, different size companies. So starting out in software development, I really worked for, so Integra Radionics, we were right off in image-guided surgery. So that is effectively right now the standard of care for a lot of different types of procedures in terms of when you talk about like neurosurgery and cranial and spinal navigation. So basically being able to use tracking, basically track instruments and preoperative imaging to make smaller incisions more precisely treat the patient. And so that in turn is less trauma to the patient. So shorter hospital stays, more effective treatments, et cetera. So that was really exciting. I was, be able to really, that was really my first from the get-go, seeing this technology, seeing, hey, these are things that are actually useful, and putting all these things together, hardware and software, and then seeing that actually in use, going to a neurosurgical procedure and seeing that the software that I worked on was actually being used in an operating room was an incredible thrill. So that kind of nailed it in right there, that this was something I was incredibly passionate about and wanted to see these technologies in both, basically from the start all the way out to making sure that got in the field. And then with Philips, that was a great opportunity as well. So again, this is more of the imaging. So we worked a lot of around ultrasound fusion and image guided biopsies and ablations. And so being able to basically fuse not just preoperative imaging, but also intraoperative imaging, because, as you know, that type of imaging gives you different information. So you can see different things preoperatively than you can intraoperatively, depending on the imaging modality. But also you get that real time aspect. You know what's going on right now in the anatomy. So being able to combine all of those technologies and doing that and combining that with navigation and other tools, again, just bringing the best of the best, the best of the state of the art, and applying that for minimally invasive procedures, image guided procedures. And then at Medtronic, that was a great experience as well. So basically, that is obviously surgical robotics is being talked a lot about today, and what a monumental effort that is, and an accomplishment to really pull together these incredibly complex systems that have so many different computers and applications and components and instruments and algorithms, and all these things need to work together. Essentially, it's a digital ecosystem in and of itself. Mm. And all that needs to be incredibly secure, needs to be reliable, needs to really be needs to be real time, and all of these things that need to happen to make that happen. So lots of lots of teams, large teams, on these programs, multi-year programs, really for most of the projects that I've been involved with, and lots of exciting work along the way, milestones, really seeing that go from really concept stage all the way out to deployment. So, I would say that's being part of those experiences, contributing to those products, to me, that was a great experience.
Yeah, no, wicked. And there's we were just chatting before, there's probably like episode 2, 3, 4, and 5 you kind of have just on your career and your thoughts on the industry. But the question I want to ask before move on to the next topic, when you started out, did you have healthcare experience, or were you sort of more software engineer, hardware engineer trained and transitioned into the industry?
Yeah, good point. So my training was in biomedical engineering. So I was familiar with biomedical instrumentation, through my coursework and projects that were related to computer modeling and software and things like that. It was really after graduate school, it was very much you start going right away. I remember when I first started my and I didn't know I had it was my first time medical device company. I walk in and I was excited. I got this job for a software development role and I was like, okay, and then my manager said, okay, so you're going to be a verification engineer and you're going to here's this stack of protocols, and I want you to go through these test protocols, and basically just see if you can find problems and all of that. And that was an incredible first thing to do because you know what? You really understand the how the system works. You understand. You learn about requirements. You learn about risk management. You learn about verification, obviously. You learn about the processes that are required, in addition to the technical aspect as well. So I felt that was really a good kind of throwing in the deep end, but a very intelligent way to kind of immerse yourself into this whole area of medical devices and really what's required from a technical and process point of view.
Okay, and looking around learning and understanding those processes from a regulatory point of view, I guess is probably the most important. But then also like from a biological point of view, as well, and a data point of view, there's quite a few challenges and restrictions. So I don't know, within your career, you've sort of looked at the MRI modality, but I know like the AI models that are run on MRI are very, very different to those run on CT or on other sort of modalities
That's
because
right.
the challenges around MRI.
That's right. That's right. So I think that's where that speaks to really the cross-functional requirements to deliver successful products. So you really need a multidisciplinary team to really tackle these challenges. And obviously every company is different, every application is different, but understanding what are those differences, like you said, and making sure that you have the right expertise on hand, whether that be the clinical specialists, right, the people that really understand that, the people that the engineers, like you say, that are developing algorithms that may cater to those specific imaging, those data sets, those particular workflow steps that are involved for either a cardiac procedure, let's say, or other types of procedures. So you need to have that specialty, but you also very much, and this is needed more and more, to have a more holistic view to pull that in to, okay, well, what is the rest? What are all the other things that need to happen? And how do you do that in a scalable and efficient way? And I think that's a key point.
No, absolutely. I think the multidisciplinary teams are so important, especially when you have a team which is underpinned or centered or even guided to certain extents, a clinical expert in the pathway which you are looking to make an impact within. You notice the startups that are successful earlier on are those normally that have that. If you're related to a practicing doctor or a clinician or somebody within that space is super important. People who don't have that early on tend to find challenges. They overcome them, but it's difficult, right?
So it's really, I think it's a lot about is really what is the problem that you're trying to solve? What is the problem you're trying to solve, and where do you see your core competency as a company, and obviously that changes over time with your own mission and goals and staff and everything, but it's really like what is your proposition? What is your value proposition? What are you trying to tackle? And then are you connected to not just those key opinion leaders, those early on engagements, but it's really making sure that you understand the broader need as well, and that's critical to making sure that you're m delivering the innovation that's needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at your career, very privileged to probably have worked at the likes of Medtronic and Philips and others. as probably, I'm just thinking about who else has been on the podcast, and there's probably not been someone who has had the privilege of working at two big corporations for that sustained period of time. Very much in the series, people have been focused on startups and innovation in that space. So quite an open question. What is it like to innovate at a global multinational medical device company?
That's an interesting question. What is it like to innovate? So I think at large companies, it can be more of a challenge, I would say. And, you know, you've got, and every company is different how they're, how they, so, you know, you have companies, especially a lot of larger companies, they're large because they've acquired other companies. And so those other companies,
like Medtronic, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so those companies typically have, you know, their own, you know, processes, their own core expertise, their own goals and objectives. And so now device manufacturers are typically now challenged with a more integrated approach, you know, and so how can we basically deliver things that may need innovations from multiple programs and business units, and how can we do that efficiently, and how can we not reinvent the wheel, right? And and how can we also make sure that we're all aligned? So I would say that there are definitely challenges around that, but I think that when that pays off and comes together, that is incredibly fulfilling, that is something that is really a you know, whether you're big or small, a goal is really to have a pipeline of innovation, and so that you're not, it's not one and done, and you need to continuously evolve and leverage what's going on across your business, but also with the needs that need to be met.
Okay. So you're talking about, like, it's more like the processes in place and such that's important. Like, I know there's some companies have like incubators, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, absolutely. So actually that was going to touch on that as well. So having, you know, like you say, kind of startups within larger companies, right? You've heard that, or you've probably seen that where, and actually, you know, a lot of that, you know, through Medtronic was kind of how, you know, a lot of the robotics story started, right? Is hey, let's get a team together, and you're going to feel effectively like a small company working for a big company. And you basically develop that core multidisciplinary expertise. And then you just, you go from there, you know, and you accelerate. So absolutely, that is, a lot of that is needed, because you need to, you're never probably going to efficiently align for certain things, right? And depending on your own roadmap.
Yeah. No. Okay. Looking at like how you innovated internally, then what do you think startups and early stage researchers that are maybe spinning out right now or thinking of, or, you know, they've got some innovation, got some grant funding or something like that, what do you think they could learn from big organizational innovation that would help them in terms, maybe process wise or something, to grow their own startup?
That's a good point. I think expertise, you know, so if you can get you know, some people that have been through those, you know, been through the wars on those, at those large companies, you know, that they've seen a lot of the risks, opportunities, mistakes, you know, in the past. So they can help make that transition more efficient. You know, they can make that less risky, because they know, they understand the landscape, they understand the processes, you know, from a technology and also from a regulatory and all of that. So I think getting a critical mass of expertise on hand to help guide those initial companies, I think that's one thing for sure.
Okay. Moving then into, I guess, part of what your role is now at RTI, how does your role, moving away from, I guess, pure product development with Medtronic and Philips and the like, how does your role in a more of a strategic point of view at RTI intersect with the healthcare ecosystem now?
Yeah, that's a good word, strategic, because that's really what this role is about. It's about really understanding, well, okay, knowing all of this is going on, and that's, you know, what are the things that are really going on that are impacting the healthcare industry, med tech, but also the applications, and what are the what are those common needs? So really understanding what those are, and seeing what are people trying to do, and but also more importantly, why, you know, what are the hospitals need? What are the hospitals saying that they need? How are the device manufacturers trying to tackle that challenge, and really aligning RTI's strategy and initiatives along with that to help accelerate that innovation?
So when you are joining a project or part of a journey of innovation, what role do you personally play within that and making ensuring success, I guess?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things for that. So one is that, so right now, you know, RTI, we're working with a lot of companies right now, and we have a lot of systems that are out there that are running our technology in the field. So there's the basically the engagement with those customers to make sure that, you know, things are continuously changing. So if there are things that, if there are technology integration needs that are out there that they need that aren't satisfied right now, how can RTI help to make that easier? You know, so if they, you know, these systems are, like I was mentioning before, these digital ecosystems. So they need to connect with, you know, we're talking about potentially, you know, navigation systems, imaging systems, live video data, you've got haptic data, you've got sensors, you've got monitoring needs, you've got, you know, local control, you've got remote control, right? Telesurgery and all of these things. So how can we help accelerate that, those use cases? So what are the use cases that are important to them? So that's what I want to make sure I understand. What are the use cases? How can we help you, not just with your objectives, but also with your vision? So how can we help you build your technology roadmap? And how can RTI, from a product perspective, from a partnership perspective for other our rich technology ecosystem and partners that we work with, and obviously from our services and engagement perspective, how can we help you accelerate your roadmap?
Mm-hmm. So working with those innovators, I guess you have seen a relatively interesting amount of change. I was thinking of using the word strong, but I think interesting probably is a more apt word in the last sort of 3 to 4 years post COVID. So be good to from in your position, what have you seen as the major trends across that sort of COVID, post COVID period within healthcare technology?
No, that's a good point. So I think that, so there's a lot of you know, healthcare challenges that when you talk about COVID specifically have gotten, you know, very, you know, a lot more severe when you talk about the healthcare costs, you know, 50% of hospitals being in the red, you've got staffing shortages, you've got this, you know, this need to treat a lot of patients, and with insufficient technologies and staff, it's a big problem, and device manufacturers understand now, especially with the fact that, you know, there are technologies that are available that are coming even more integrated and online that, hey, we can solve these problems. We can by automating certain things. So you know, there are a lot of things right now that devices could even log and record that aren't even recorded, like just the basic stuff, you know, just getting that data logged, for example, much less using it and actually doing something intelligent with it and being more predictive and proactive. So this is really driving this need for more connected systems, more connected technologies, to really improve the a clinical solution. So, you know, previously a lot of you know, med tech and devices was really around, you know, these siloed products, you know, not really connected. Now what's being challenged, what the industry is being challenged with, is we really need to take a step back and have a more holistic system level innovation. We need to build really connected solutions that rely on lots of different, you know, applications and devices that are working together. When you think about the, you know, like the human body is not a vacuum. There's multiple things and processes and sensors and data that's going along. So if we can leverage that, if MedTech can leverage that and integrate all of these converging technologies to deliver those integrated solutions that are more, like I said, predictive, more intelligent, more automated, then these are the things that are going to really help the patient care, the outcomes, and the costs as well.
No, absolutely. So you're definitely seeing where the infrastructure and the technology is becoming a little bit more intertwined around it. And how have you noticed a change maybe in culture or appreciation from the clinicians and healthcare providers side in terms of putting this technology into play in their workflows?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think you've seen a lot more conversations directly of manufacturers to hospitals, like, you know, because there's a danger to being disconnected from that. So, you know, hospitals are no longer going to accept innovation as, you know, as a spec sheet. You know, here's a device, here's a list of features. Isn't that great? You know, that's not acceptable anymore. It's, how are you going to help me right now? How are you going to help me that if I do a procedure, how are you going to help me sleep at night that I'm not going to have to go back and do a revision? Yeah. How can you help me with my hospital turnover? How can you help me with if I can leverage technology so that this patient can be treated, but I can have expert care from another institution, and I can use that same technology and raise the level of care and treat that patient better, treat that patient faster, lower costs, all of that. So those are the conversations that are now starting, and that's what is in part driving this need for the connectivity, the interoperability of these next generation systems.
So if you could, looking back, well, no, knowing what you do of the current state of play of healthcare, and you got, you received, I don't know, $10 million, and someone said, create a product to impact healthcare, 10 million is your series A, your seed, what would you build?
That's a good question. What would you build? So I think that at the end of the day, you need to build something that is really integrating all of these different things. Because when you think about the care life cycle, you know, you've got, you know, the preoperative care, you've got, you know, intraoperative, postoperative. So solutions that can really address that care life cycle. And so when you think about what happens preoperatively, you have imaging, and maybe, and you also potentially have some monitoring that's going on, and you've got intraoperative, obviously you've got the procedure and postoperative monitoring and care and data analytics. So being able to deliver solutions that cover that full care cycle by leveraging these integrated technologies as well. I mean, that is really the ultimate.
Would you go like for an end to end on a clinical pathway then? Is that for you the kind of sort of wrap?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the ultimate solution is if I can impact the care pathway across that basically it's not just in the surgical care, because we're seeing this right now too with surgical robotics, where surgical robotics is really driving a technological push for minimally invasive surgeries. And there's other devices in an operating room, like you say, imaging and navigation and energy systems and vision systems. So being able to leverage that and provide things like intraoperative guidance, remote guidance, real-time control analytics, and all of these things that help improve the patient care along that care cycle, but also, of course, the efficiency, patient care, the clinical efficiency as well. Those are the, that's really the ultimate, these are the ultimate solutions that are going to pay off.
What do you think the current technological challenges are for a successful end-to-end product on a clinical pathway? And I'm less on the development side here, more on like, is the healthcare IT infrastructure ready for it?
Yeah, I think that, I think the question is, what is the infrastructure? Because I think that it really depends on the problem that, that needs to be solved. And I think that companies are lacking infrastructure right now, the necessary infrastructure, and are still the, some of these, the use cases in terms of how to best use, for example, AI in surgery and how to best employ some of these technologies are still being defined. So, so there's, I think one of the challenges is basically uncertainty is how to best employ, what are the, what's going to provide the most value? What is the use case? What, how do I need to tackle that on from, from a, you know, from my requirements, from what is my regulatory pathway? What are my partners? How do I want to innovate? What is my business model? And like we were just saying, like, the expertise and the it's really a paradigm shift of the way devices were looked on before, and we go now to this holistic system of systems approach, which is very different. And so you've got those challenges. You have systems that, you know, historically were not designed for connectivity and for this real for really data sharing at a level that is happening today. So it's really requires this new expertise, new types of architectures that are able to, you know, share data, that need to process data in real time and do something actionable and intelligent. So it's a tall order. So I think there's there's the risk, and there's also the challenges that we talked about from the scope and process and organizational side, and also the technical risks and challenges.
Yeah, I'm going to just pry into this sort of magic $10 million that I have. I wish I had it. Unfortunately, I don't. I guess the product for you is an end-to-end clinical pathway. Let's just sort of not really delve into that sort of which clinical pathway, how you do that, but around a sort of holistic approach is super interesting. To achieve that, who would be the first... what sort of profiles would you think about hiring first? Let's take the first, like, maybe 3 to 5 individuals within your company. Who would you either expect to see for success at that stage? Or if you had that $10 million, who would you go on? What type of people would you go and hire to start to build that product from the ground up?
Yeah, I think that you really need a very diverse group of expertise. I think what we're seeing now, and I think one of the other challenges is there's a lack of, historically there's been, you know, tech and there's been, you know, medical devices. And I think we're seeing more of this tech and med tech converge. And I think that's a good thing. And because when you think about some of these challenges are on a high level are kind of outside of medical. You know, when you talk about when you think about digital transformation, right? Like there's digital transformation going on in autonomous vehicles and aerospace and smart energy, right? All of these things that are going on, and there's why is that? You know, what's going on there? And it's because this need to share data, and why do they need to share data? Because when you talk about the care pathway, those are different applications, different technologies. It's really you have these heterogeneous devices and data that needs to be shared to do different things. So it's you really need to kind of bring that together. You need to, how can you optimally align those use cases with the technology to most effectively bring that to bear. So I think you need a mix of the right subject matter expertise and the right state-of-the-art tools and technology. So I think that, you know, if I'm a manufacturer, device manufacturer, I don't want people writing operating systems, right? That is not a use of my time, right? And so I think that there's more and more now, there's a level of abstraction that is accelerating these seismic jumps in innovation. And so this is why I'm excited to work at a company like RTI, where we really specialize in this framework for real-time data flow. It's like companies don't want to solve these problems. They want to solve the clinical applications, and that's where they want to innovate. So leveraging those state-of-the-art tools and technologies that you can apply across expanding applications that are flexible. You know, we didn't talk much about flexibility, but that's a key enabler in here, because it's useless if you design a system and it's not upgradable, right? And it's not flexible, because you know what's happening? Everything is changing. The use cases are changing. And then all of a sudden you realize that systems are not scalable, systems are not flexible, and your path, your roadmap and your innovation is not where you want it to be.
So just touching on some of the pieces you've done at RTI, and you sort of mentioned about the data workflows that you've been working on to enable other people to focus on the clinical innovation, I guess, which is what they find, I guess, more interesting in the startup, but you find this piece more interesting, which is like a fantastic coming together. I don't know if you can mention names, and it's fine if you can't, but it'd be good to understand what successes have you been most proud of that you have worked with RTI, like project-wise, in terms of what you've been able to impact?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I would say, so RTI is, so from RTI perspective, you know, RTI has multiple industries, but my focus and passion is healthcare. So we've seen a lot of traction and innovation here in surgical robotics. So I'm very, very proud that we are enabling over 15 surgical robotics programs to really change really what's possible. When we talk about, you know, companies like Monogram and what they're, you know, what they demonstrated in terms of remote procedures and telesurgery and being able to, you know, hey, treat patients more precisely, more efficiently. Right. And so giving that access to care, I mean, I'm incredibly proud of that innovation that's happening there across our surgical robotic space. And then when you talk about other areas like critical care and monitoring, so working with companies like GE Healthcare and their incredible innovation and mobile patient monitoring and CT and those types of systems. So we're seeing this, you know, this really more and more and a lot of these different applications, everything from imaging and critical care systems and even immunoassay systems, for example, when you talk about biotech and this need for all of these complicated components that have to work together. So I think that, like I said, I think we've seen a lot of great success in surgical robotics, but we're seeing more and more of these other applications that are expanding, that require all of these different technologies that are in the operating room, but also are outside the operating room as well. So it's really this technology ecosystem of applications and devices.
Yeah, I think it's the plethora, I guess, of what you've explained there, not just in surgical robotics, but into further places. And great plug for a future episode coming up as well with Cameron. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that when it was released later on in the series. But I think it just pulls to what you were saying now around it's gone past, I guess, what we were thinking technology could do 5-10 years ago and the common thread in healthcare. Now it's embedded into almost every process or every clinical pathway, from drug discovery to digital therapeutics to imaging to pre-surgery, post-surgery, during surgery. And I started this by sort of saying patient outcomes, and then you sort of said actually it's patient care. I think if anyone's going to take anything from this episode, it's the importance of actually the patient care journey, and can we create technology around the end-to-end care solution and workflow pathway to really not only improve the outcomes, but to focus on the journey of those patients, right? And that's right. When clinicians are going to come back and go, is it going to solve problems for me now in terms of, you know, the cost reduction, the resource reduction, the efficacy, the accuracy that I can have? Normally, if you're increasing the journey of somebody through a process, you're going to be answering those questions positively for those key clinical decision makers, right?
That's right. That's right. No, this is an exciting time. I think we're seeing with all of this, like the pace of innovation, like you say, is, you could think it going from decades to years. Like there are things happening right now that is like, you know, really going to be blowing people's minds that wow, this is actually possible. And yeah. And so leveraging leveraging the state of the art technologies that exist to bring together innovations, it's going to be a great ride, and it's going to, like, the world's going to be a better place. So I'm really excited. Absolutely. About it.
Yeah. And I think there was a moment when I first sort of started looking in this industry about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a very early stage startup in Europe, looking at sort of medical devices within degenerative diseases. And I was like, I just watched Iron Man that weekend, and I was like, geez, fuck is like talking about, right? For it. So I think like it's a super interesting time. It's a super innovative time. And there's going to be things that people didn't realize were possible are going to be actually in healthcare.
Yeah. I mean, five million people don't have access to quality surgical care. 5 billion, sorry, B with a B. Mm, yeah. So there's a need, and it's going to happen. I think that the industry is committed. The clinicians want to see it happen, and yeah. We have the tools at our disposal. So
yeah.
Excited.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and we've just scratched the surface of your knowledge and your thoughts on the industry. So 100% up for a sort of future episodes in a year or so, or 2 years, whenever we do the catch-up. As I said, we've got our first catch-up episode in this series, in series 5. So keep an eye out for that one. So I definitely want to do another one with you, Darren, because it's been a pleasure. And if anyone's got anything they want to talk about with you, I'm sure you'd love for them to reach out to you off or online. I guess we'll put your contact details on all of the pieces. But if not, how best to contact you, I guess, like LinkedIn or emails and such? Or
yeah, email is great. LinkedIn is also great. So all the usual methods. So I would be happy to have a further discussion. This is a great topic. Thank you for having me.
No, absolute pleasure. And that concludes this episode. So thank you very much for listening, and those of you who are avid watchers as well, thank you very much. But yeah, look out for the further series, and thanks again, Darren.
Thank you, Nick.